Please be seated. People like to tell stories, and sometimes it's pretty clear that the story's made up, and other times it's not. If you pick up a book in the fiction section of the library, you know that you're going to be reading something that'll be entertaining, hopefully, but that it isn't true. It's not a true story. If you go into the nonfiction section, you'll end up reading something that's true, at least as far as it lay within the author's ability to tell you the truth. And if you talk to a friend about golf or fishing, you really will have no idea where on the line from completely made up to God's honest truth the story is going to fall. There's an old Navy saying that, in the interest of decorum, I won't share with you in its original form, but it goes something like this. The difference between a fairy tale and a sea story is that a fairy tale begins once upon a time, and a sea story starts out saying, this one's no baloney. Sailors, like golfers and fishermen, sometimes elaborate to make the story better. And of course, all of this is complicated because we know that sometimes truth itself can be conveyed through fiction. We can watch a well-done movie and know that it's fiction, and yet feel that we've learned something true about life. We can read an excellent novel or a great poem and feel that somehow we've gained wisdom, insight. There are parts of Scripture that do not pretend to be nonfiction. The Psalms are hymns, and yet they can be profoundly true at the same time that they're speaking poetically. Characters in the parables that Jesus tells aren't real people, but the parables themselves are teaching stories that are meant to convey truth to us. But there are things that I, at least, need to know are factually true in order for them to mean something to me. And maybe you're the same way. Some people don't believe in the miraculous parts of Scripture, for instance. They think that Jesus was a really important teacher, but that there was nothing else out of the ordinary about him. In other words, when they read the part of the Gospel of Matthew that we read today, what we would call the Transfiguration, in their minds, they're writing this off as something even less true than a sea story, something more like a fairy tale. They're saying perhaps this is just a way that Matthew's trying to impress upon me how important Jesus was as a teacher. He probably thought, Matthew did, that if he insisted that Jesus was divine, then maybe I'd listen better. And some folks, as I said, are fine with that. I'm not. There's no way I would follow the teachings of Jesus and the actions of Jesus, knowing that they got Jesus killed within a pretty short time, if he wasn't who Matthew and all the other writers of the New Testament insist that he was. But to my way of thinking, if Jesus wasn't the divine Son, God made flesh, then he was the worst self-help guru ever, and the Bible's no more useful than Star Wars movies and not nearly as entertaining. And I can't say to you, beyond any possibility of doubt, that Jesus stood on a mountain with his disciples and that his appearance was changed so that his face shined like the sun and his clothing became dazzling white. I can't say this is absolutely positively true because I wasn't there when Moses and Elijah appeared with him. I was not there when the disciples fell to the ground in fear because the voice of God spoke to them all, telling them, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Some perfectly intelligent, reasonable people will say to you that this is fiction. The Apostle Peter, who was there, wrote many years later, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses to his majesty." Now, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about precisely what we read in the gospel. He's talking about the Transfiguration. Because years and years later, people were still telling that story. And it sounds like they might have been asking each other, is this story true? Or is it like those stories about Zeus or Athena or other legendary figures of our past entertaining but fictional. Peter said, "We didn't make this stuff up. I was there when his face changed, when his robes were transformed. I heard the voice of God say, 'This is my son, my beloved, with whom I'm well pleased.' I was on that mountain along with those other disciples." So the question is for me, do I believe Matthew? Do I believe Peter, who confirms that story? Do I listen to other voices, to atheists or even some Christians who don't believe the story? Or do I go with my own experiences that I've had as a test of what's true? And I've had some pretty amazing experiences. I could tell you some stories. But I've never seen someone's face shine like the sun. I've never seen Moses or Elijah or Jesus Christ standing on a mountain together. And I've never stood among other disciples of Jesus as God spoke audibly to us, not in our hearts, but in our actual ears. So I can't testify to you as Peter does. But I know what I believe. And I believe that this happened. I believe it happened pretty much the way that Matthew and Peter describe. I wasn't there, but I believe it the way I believe other works of nonfiction. I didn't see the Declaration of Independence signed or witness the Battle of Gettysburg or any of other thousands of things I've read about in history books, but I know about them and believe in them because I believe the people who handed on accounts later on, people who've been dead for many generations, who left behind eyewitness accounts and writings. And it is possible that I'm wrong. It is possible that billions of Christians, going back to the very first days when the apostles began to share stories about the empty tomb of their rabbi, the man they called King, Lord, and Master, that we've all been fooled. It is possible that he didn't rise from the dead and appear multiple times, bearing the wounds of his crucifixion and commanding his followers to take his teachings and his gospel out into the world. In the end, I don't speak for anyone but me. But I know a fairy tale when I read it. And I've been around enough sailors to know a sea story when someone tells one. And I know this story and Peter's confirmation of the story are true. Now, when I read a history book, what I learn is what happened. And to be honest, that's what a lot of people learn from the Bible. Even people who believe, as I do, that this story and a lot of the other stories about Jesus are true. We can know the entire story of Jesus and believe that it's true as it's written, and yet fail to learn the truth beyond the truth. That is, that it will make no difference if the story is true, if we don't think that what God said to the apostles, he is also saying to us. Do you remember that bit? Right after God says, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased," he says, "Listen to him." And that doesn't just mean hear him. It means hear what he says and live accordingly. A person who thinks this is true but remains the same person living the same way is even more to be pitied than an atheist who thinks the whole Bible is just a collection of ancient stories and creative writing. The atheist is at least living according to what he believes about Scripture, that it's fiction. Sea stories sometimes make me laugh, although they're almost never wise or useful, and you certainly can't tell them at church. Fairy tales are only amusing fantasies. I tell them to my little girls. But this story isn't "This is no baloney" or "Once upon a time." This one is reality when what we knew before was illusion. This one is when the disciples heard the voice of God, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. This one is cold water in the face, waking us from the dreams and sometimes the nightmares that we were living in before. And the words of Jesus spoken in our ears, "Get up and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that this is true. Don't be afraid that these words were spoken for you to hear and to listen to. Don't be afraid that your life is going to be different. Get up and believe and live. And maybe tell some stories." as Matthew did, and bear witness as Peter did. Maybe the one where God moved you and your friends to love and care for people who were gravely ill, or to clothe a child whose family was struggling. Maybe tell of how the Lord moved inside of you and turned the passing of someone you love from a time of sadness and confusion into a glimpse of the resurrection to eternal life. Maybe tell about the moment that you learned to look upon strangers and those who are different as other children of God, beloved by Christ, because he showed you how to love them. Maybe share how you and your friends made food and served it to everyone who came to this church because of the love that you have for Jesus, who taught you to feed people just because they're hungry and you like to sit down to dinner with your friends. And be sure and tell the story of how you've known in our songs of praise and our holy sacraments something that tasted and sounded a little bit like heaven yet to come. Amen.